Psalm 119, verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than 10,000s of gold and silver. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings upon this stanza in Psalm 119. I pray that you would bless it and teach us from it, Father, as you have taught me in my private devotions, and I thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how often do we find ourselves thinking wrong when we are in the midst of an earthly trial or an affliction that God has sent into our lives? I'm not talking about when we get ourselves in trouble for our own sins, but when God sends earthly trials and afflictions into our lives. Paul says in Romans 8:28, we know this, and we should know this, and a lot of times we don't know this when we should know this. And Paul even says, and we know that all things work together for good, to include trials and afflictions, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So think about this. Our earthly trials and afflictions are designed by our Father and our God for our good. And sometimes the hardest time to remember that is when you find yourself right smack dab in the middle of it. But how often have we in our sinful short-sightedness looked upon the blessings of heaven-sent afflictions and trials as if they were curses to our earthly contentedness? We look upon a trial that God sent to us for our good, and we really don't want to be in the trial, and it's disturbed our peace upon this earth. None of us like to be tried in the furnace of affliction in this life. And yet, if we intend to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth, we must come to understand that from the day that God saved us from our sins and from the captivity of Satan and from the present evil world, from that time we became sons and daughters of God. From that day forward, God was our heavenly Father and not the wicked one. So now we're under a new Father. From that day forward, our new Father began to teach us and to guide us in his ways and in his commandments, and to conform us and fashion us into the image of Christ, who is now and must always be our example in this life. So if you're in Christ, you are adopted into the family of God. What a great blessing. With your adoption comes the great privilege as a child of God of now enjoying intimate communion with God. You enjoy the love of a heavenly Father along with his compassion, his sympathy, his listening ear, his heavenly riches, and yes, very often his loving discipline and correction, his rod and his staff. So verse 65 says, look at verse 65. And as before we read it, we must always remember and believe that whatever God is doing in your life and my life is right. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. So in what God's done, he's done well. So this is the first part of this, as we say, Lord, listen, it was said of Christ, he did all things well. Well, he's God, and God has done all things well. And in our afflictions, God has done all things well. The worst thing that you and I could do in the furnace of affliction is kick against the pricks of God's providence in our lives. When trials and afflictions come, know that God has sent them for your good. Now, Proverbs 3:11, the wise man says, you don't have to turn there. He says, my son or daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, We often look at chastening as if God's spanking us for our sins. But chastening is actually God conforming us to his image. It's discipline, it's training, it's instruction. That's what it is. Consider that this stanza begins with the psalmist in the blessed and peaceful state of having been instructed by God. He's been instructed by God at this point because he's come to the realization in verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. And so that's what we have to trust. Lord, this is what you said, and that's how you dealt with me. So you've dealt with me well. And so the psalmist has come through the furnace of affliction. He has been humbled. He has been corrected. He has been sanctified. He's been brought into the true and right ways of God. He has been brought into a closer intimacy with his God. His spiritual vision is no longer blurred to his Heavenly Father's loving and intimate dealings with him. Now only after his afflictions is he teachable. See, it's after his afflictions. Look at verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. That is, in all that God does in our lives, God, you're good and you're doing good. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So our afflictions have a sanctifying influence. It brings instructiveness, or actually humility first, that we may be instructed. And then slip down to verse 75. We didn't read it, but the psalmist there says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. And so affliction is a central theme, obviously, of this devotion. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Note that there is before and now. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. So before I was afflicted, and the word afflicted here means humbled. Affliction humbles us. When we find ourselves in the furnace of affliction, it should bring us to the throne of grace and humility. It should bring us to a place of helplessness. Lord, I need your help. So often in prosperity, or when things are going great, we lose our humility and we don't find ourselves at the throne of grace. That's the challenge, really. That's the Christian life, is to keep ourselves at the throne of grace. If we stay at the throne of grace, then it will beget humility in us because we know where we're going. We're bowing before our Heavenly Father, and we're bowing before him for grace and help. So our heaven-sent afflictions are always for our good, always designed to humble us before our God and before our Heavenly Father. So Psalmist here, before I was afflicted, or before I was humbled, I went astray. I wandered from the good and right ways of God. I wandered from the family of God like a wayward child. And God afflicted me and brought me back. So going spiritually astray is a place that we find ourselves in at times as a result of our own sins, as a result of our own spiritual laziness. When we mindlessly and prayerlessly drift back into the world, and when we stray from Christ and from his word. But our Father is always there with his rod and his staff to correct us, but also to comfort us and to bring us back into the fold. Look at 2 Chronicles 33. If I could use this passage concerning Manasseh. Now, Manasseh was taught the good and right ways of God by Hezekiah. And as soon as Hezekiah was gone, he did everything exactly opposite. And it says here in verse 9, 33:9, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And that's where the mercy of God found Manasseh. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And so before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Jeremiah 22 and 21. Jeremiah 22 and 21. This is another scripture song we sing. Thought about it today. Fits kind of perfectly with this passage. 22 and 21. God by the prophet Jeremiah says, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. See, they weren't humble. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. And so the affliction is designed to humble us. In fact, that's what it means there in Psalm 119. And then Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. And think about this thing. The great privilege and benefit of it is being a son or a daughter of God, being a child of God, is now you have a heavenly father. I was not corrected before. You were not corrected before. We were not guided. So we didn't have a heavenly father. Hebrews 12:5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And listen, this is where it's got to start. When we find ourselves in the furnace of affliction in a trial, we're all too ready to faint. And this is when our faith needs to take hold of, this is God teaching me and instructing me, and this is for my good. I need to find myself at the throne of grace. It's the Lord instructing you. He's humbling you. He's bringing you to his throne of grace. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Means discipline and training. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons, or you don't have a father. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, that is our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, in your trials and afflictions, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be rather healed. And so, wherefore, know that your afflictions and chastisements are sent to you by God. They are a clear sign and token of God's watch care over you. So lift up or strengthen your weak hands that are hanging or drooping, and lift up and strengthen your feeble knees that are shaking. Stop weakening yourself in what God has designed to strengthen you. Don't be depressed. God is very presently with you when you are in the middle of a trial. He's, in fact, closer to you when you're not on a trial. We're the ones that drift. Oftentimes we find ourselves, though, stifled and stopped in our Christian lives because of our afflictions and trials. But we must, brethren, soldier on. Listen, a battalion of soldiers, when some are taken out, The battalion doesn't just stop. The battalion has to soldier on. So press on in your Christian life. Get your eyes out of the dirt and look to the heavens and to your God from whence your strength comes. Walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll close with Proverbs 4:23 as an exhortation for us. And listen, the great spiritual challenge for us all is when things start going really well, we lose our place at the throne of grace. And we lose our humility. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So keep your heart above all keeping. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyelids look right on, and let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet every single day, as good as it's going, and let all thy ways be established in the ways of the Lord. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen.